big trip on the horizon? The parking spot gets you going faster. The parking spot is a simpler, easier way to navigate airport parking. When you book online, you'll save money and you're guaranteed a spot. We'll pick you up at your trunk in our yellow and black spotted shuttles, help you with your bags, and take you straight to the terminal. Parking and saving come full circle at The Parking Spot. Get going faster with The Parking Spot. Visit theparkingspot.com to reserve your spot. Use promo code SPOT22 to save on your reservation today.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show with Josh Rogan of The Washington Post, the global opinions columnist. Most importantly, right now, the author of the new book, Chaos Under Heaven, Trump, Xi, and the Battle for the 21st Century. This is a story of 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20 that much establishes what we know and don't know about the pandemic, about the threat to national security here and with our allies, and the threat to planet Earth right now, what we know and what we don't know. There are ironies aplenty here because Josh is telling the story of the Trump policy towards China, with China, that was looking to, in some way, resolve itself in January of 2020, the Phase One trade deal. History is not neat, and it can be one thing after another. On the 15th, that Phase One deal, with handshakes all around, is sealed in Washington. And the Chinese negotiators get on the plane to go home to Beijing. The day before, however, at the National Security Council meeting, at the the National Security Council meeting at the Policy Coordination Committee level, that is, the principals were not there, the coordinators were there. There was a report of a strange new flu from China. And one of the people attending that meeting is Matthew Pottinger. We've met him before. What did they know on January 14th about this flu, Josh? Because I mentioned that I had spoken of that flu on January 6th to my colleague Gordon Chang when we did a show that night. It was reported out of the South China Morning Post as an unusual flu described as pneumonia-like. What did they know on the 14th?
Well, not much. And you have to remember that, you know, at this point, the Chinese delegation is in town to sign this trade deal. After 3 years of contention, and the president of the United States, Donald Trump, gets up at the podium and he says, this will be a new era of U.S.-China relations where, you know, we're all going to be friends and it's going to be wonderful. And at the same exact time, the national security people are meeting about this new strange flu that's spreading in Wuhan, and they don't know anything. The Chinese delegation didn't say a word. They just got on the plane and left, never mentioned it, okay? And if you can imagine what's going on inside the White House at this moment, they're so proud and they're so happy and they're expecting this trade deal to be the thing that they're going to run on and that's going to get the president reelected, and the U.S.-China relationship has to be good in order for that all to work. And then here comes, you know, a little these national security guys, including Matt Pottinger, to tell them, wait a second, we got a problem here, and we're getting more information. We don't know exactly what it is, but we think we might have to shut down travel from China. And as you can imagine, people like Mick Mulvaney, the White House Chief of Staff, and Steve Mnuchin were like, oh, my God, we can't do that.
That's all right, crazy. All right, let's go to the days. These days of January are critical because we know things now we didn't know then. So I want to take us to that moment. The 14th, they have a Policy Coordination Committee level meeting. Pottinger at 10.
Right. And nobody knows it.
Pottinger on the 24th goes to a bingo club meeting, a bingo club event. What he hears anecdotally frightens him. Now, I remember hearing anecdotally on the 25th, the next day, from an informant out of China. Something was going on at Wuhan. Pottinger, of course, had the power to act on it, and immediately he tells his boss, now National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien, on the 27th, Monday to the 27th, to get a cabinet meeting put together and to inform everybody that something bad is happening in China. What did they know at that point on the 27th? This is late January.
Right. So Matt Pottinger had talked to his sources from his time covering the SARS epidemic. They told him that there was asymptomatic spread and that the Chinese government was covering it up. These were doctors inside China who knew what they were talking about, who were reliable. His wife is a virologist. His brother is an epidemiologist. He was reading the Chinese social media in Chinese. He was reading the intelligence streams, and he was trying to sound the alarms, and nobody would listen. And when he convened that meeting on January 25th, he said to all of the principals, the top guys, he said, tell me why we shouldn't shut down travel from China. And they had various reasons, and Trump refused to do it. And so the next day, then Pottinger and O'Brien went into Trump, and they said, this is the biggest national security crisis of your presidency. It's unfolding now. It's going to be like 1918, and you better get on it.
This is Tuesday, January 28th, in the Oval Office. O'Brien, Pottinger, and the president. Go ahead, Josh.
Yes, and on that same day, the first case of community spread was detected in the United States. That's when the health officials in the United States government switched over and supported the ban. That's when, 2 days later, Trump instituted the China travel ban, and we were off to the races. But even at that time, people like Mick Mulvaney and Steve Mnuchin were telling the president that this was reckless, that he shouldn't do this, that he was going to wreck the economy and wreck his reelection chances. And he had another voice in his ear. On February 6th, Chinese President Xi Jinping told the president a lot of lies about the coronavirus, including that it would go away in warm weather, that it could be treated with herbal medicine, that they had it under control in China. And none of these things were true, but they added to the garble that was going on inside the president's head, and that's what added to the garble that came out in our policy at the time. So as much information as people like Pottinger and O'Brien could throw at the president, he still trusted his good friend Xi Jinping, much to the chagrin of the national security people and much to the detriment of our national public health.
We're watching the politics of this emerge. I understand there's this large distinction made today between the science and the politics. They're all mixed up here because the political voices were not getting good science. They were not getting good facts out of China. And that was initially the problem and continues the problem, Josh. Nothing has changed. China wasn't naming correctly what was happening. And therefore...
Worse than that.
Go ahead.
They were hiding the facts. They were disappearing the people who were communicating true information. When they got scientific information, they kept it from the world. There's allegations that they manipulated the scientists to point blame away from one of the theories that there was human error involved in the outbreak related to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, the world's largest bat coronavirus research center in the world. And that pattern of obfuscation and, you know, silencing journalists and silencing scientists continues to this day. And you know, this became, as you rightly pointed out, hyper-politicized in the United States because everything related to Trump and Pompeo was hyper-politicized. But if you take the politics out of it just for a second, you will see that the behavior of the Chinese leadership, especially with regard to the origin story, but also with regard to how the virus was spreading in real time and their lies and cover-ups, had a direct effect on the
Thursday, February 6th. It's always good in an opera to get the principals involved. You understand? All right. Don Giovanni talking to Don Giovanni. February 6th, President Trump is on the phone with President Xi. A lengthy telephone conversation is how the White House characterized it. You get the readout on February 9th. Was the virus discussed in a fashion that Trump could have understood that Xi was being candid about?
Trump thought Xi was being candid, but the Chinese president was actually lying to the United States president. And that was only the beginning of the misdirection that the Chinese president pointed at Trump for months and months and months. And, you know, it fed into Trump's desire to want to play down the virus. At the same time, he was getting conflicting information from his own officials. He didn't want it to be bad, and President Xi knew how to manipulate the President of the United States in order to convince him that it wouldn't be bad. And that was very much in the interest of the Chinese government, but not in the interest of our response. And then what came after that is that the Chinese government threatened and blackmailed U.S. officials and told them to shut up about China's handling of the virus if they wanted their masks, if they wanted their PPE. And because the United States, in its time of worst suffering, was dependent on shipments from China, the U.S. diplomats were, and the U.S. State Department was caught in that dilemma of how to handle this very delicate situation. And of course, that wasn't just the United States. That was every country in the world. And China had the most influence, the most power, because it was the first mover and because it had the most masks and the most science, but there's, if you think about it, this was a huge opportunity for the Chinese Communist Party to show what it would be like as a world leader, and they did sort of show what it would be like, and it wasn't a pretty picture.
The virus, where did it come from? Josh has a chapter devoted to what we know now about the virus, where it came from, what it's associated with. And when we come back, the few details we have suggest we need many, many more details in the course of time. To name the thing correctly is to lead to affairs that can be carried with success. We have not named the thing correctly. Josh Rogan, the book is Chaos Under Heaven, Trump, Xi, and the Battle for the 21st Century. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.
Here's a 60-second nugget from Walnut Hill Community Church.
I said yes to the cancer support group because I found myself on a new journey without a roadmap. Our group leverages faith, prayer, and scripture to find shared strength in God's love, empowering us to carry on with our individual struggles.
On Easter Sunday, I was encouraged to join Alpha, a course that helps answer tough questions about faith. Saying yes to that and joining the Walnut Hill online family changed my life. I found a new devotion to reading the Bible, a passion for worship, and faith-filled relationships I treasure.
My husband and I said yes to volunteering at Walnut Hill's food pantry. We love the opportunity to help people and make an impact in our community by meeting a great need.
You're invited. Join us this Sunday at our campuses in Bethel, Derby, New Milford, Waterbury, and online. Visit walnuthillcc.org for more information.
Big trip on the horizon? The parking spot gets you going faster. The parking spot is a simpler, easier way to navigate airport parking. When you book online, you'll save money and you're guaranteed a spot. We'll pick you up at your trunk in our yellow and black spotted shuttles, help you with your bags, and take you straight to the terminal. Parking and saving come full circle at the parking spot. Get going faster with the parking spot. Visit theparkingspot.com to reserve your spot. Use promo code SPOT22 to save on your reservation today.